And welcome to the Vincent Moreland Show, more land, more sports. We have a returning guest on here. It's my first time having a guest on in a while. We're going to do week three. Look at me already messing up. Week seven predictions in the NFL. Carwin, welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Always an honor being on the Moreland Show. It's a lovely morning over here in Bristol, Connecticut, ESPN. I got my fan going. It's pretty humid in here, and it's glad to be here, Vincent. So, where are we kicking off?
Off in the NFL. Ah, I see you there kicking it off.
So, what you want to go by? By 1 o'clock games, 4 o'clock games, divisions.
We're picking every game, bro.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying, like, how do you want to do pick random games?
Or? Yeah, Thursday night game, 1 o'clock games, 4 o'clock games, Sunday night game, Monday night game.
Okay. All right, Thursday. You want me to go first? Or you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll let you go first. Well, let me introduce the game first. So you have the 1-5 Giants visiting the 1-4-1 Philadelphia Eagles. Vegas has Eagles favored by 4.5. Over/under is 45. I think the Eagles will win this game. You know, even though they didn't beat the Ravens, they came pretty damn close to it. And I don't. Travis Fulgham's really coming alive. He has 18 catches, 284 yards. And 3 touchdowns. This is all within like the past 3 weeks, as he wasn't really doing anything prior to that. They have lost Miles Sanders. I don't know how long he's going to be out for, but I think this is a good spot start for Boston Scott, especially if you have him in fantasy. But I think Philadelphia is a little bit more talented on offense than the Giants, and I think they'll overcome the Giants. I got the Eagles winning this game 30-17. The over-under is 45, which I'm a little bit surprised. I thought it'd be a little bit higher, unless they're anticipating one of these teams to not really score all that much. But I'm going to go with, 30-17 Eagles? I'm going to go 30-17 Eagles. Is that a lot of points? I mean, they put up 28 on Baltimore.
I don't know. I don't think those teams are good enough to do that, but it's possible. I'm thinking, so as we all know, Eagles are decimated with injuries. You've got DeSean Jackson, who's, I think, is questionable, but he's been out the last 2 weeks. Alshon, who hasn't played a snap yet this year, who kicked off the season on IR. Then you got Goedert, who's been hurt. Miles Sanders is out now. So now
Zach Ertz is out.
I thought he was just questionable.
No, he's out.
Wow. Now, see, so now you got Ertz out. So Wentz is playing with journeymen and people off the streets. So that just says a lot about his play and the adversity he goes through, and that his poor play isn't completely on him. His O-line hasn't been the best block and pass protection for him this year. And it's just, and they, not on top of that, I just don't think he is mentally where he should be in that offense when you consider the amount of people that lack the confidence in him just by flat out drafting a prospect like Jalen Hurts as soon as they did. That's got to be, you know, in the back of his mind. So it's just the way they have Wentz set up isn't a good way for success. And then whereas you got the Giants, man, they're a mess. I came into the season, Vincent can even vouch for this. I thought the Giants offense was going to take a leap this year. I picked up Daniel Jones. When you consider Saquon Barkley, Evan Ingram, Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate Slayton. I mean, honestly, every offensive piece I named on the Giants would be an upgrade from what the Eagles had, would it not? Sterling Shepard. Sterling Shepard.
I never heard of, before this year, I never heard of Travis Fulgham.
Yeah.
I never heard of John Hightower.
Exactly.
Jason Kroon.
Yeah.
I heard of
Greg Ward.
Ortega Whiteside and Greg Ward, but those weren't guys. Those weren't household names for the Eagles.
Yeah.
You know, Dallas Goedert's coming back.
Oh, okay. So Goddard's
coming back, but Ertz is out.
Well, Ertz is about to be out. Yeah, so, I mean, Sterling Shepard definitely would be a starter on that team. Golden Tate would be good enough. Slayton would definitely be good enough. It's like the Giants, I feel like they have the talent. I don't know if Daniel Jones just doesn't have it, or if coaching is a problem or what, but they definitely got the talent. And, you know, their offense is definitely amongst last for a reason. And when you're being that bad on offense and you don't have the defense to protect the lack of productivity in your offense, you're not going to win games. So I just don't see the Giants winning this one. I mean, really, the NFC East, as we all know, is the worst division of football. I mean, it could really go either way between the Giants and the Eagles, considering they both are really lacking explosive offenses, whereas the only reason I would give the edge to the Eagles is because I think their defense is a bit better than the Giants' defense. So I don't see any team breaking in the 30s. I'm thinking maybe you're going to get 3-6-9. You're going to get 16 points out of the Giants with 3 field goals and a touchdown. And then you're going to have the Eagles getting 2 touchdowns and 3 field goals to win 23-16.
Okay, that's not a bad prediction. Yeah, Giants are coming into this game scoring the third least amount of points.
Yeah.
Jets have 75, Broncos have 100. And then the Giants have 101. But to be fair, the Broncos, they played one less game.
Yeah.
So pretty much the only team that's worse than the Giants on offense are the Jets, and they both share the same stadium. So
It's
a matter of which New York team is worse or which New Jersey team is worse.
Yeah.
All right. Next we have Detroit visiting Atlanta. I feel like this can be a high-scoring game. Two pretty good offenses. Over-under is 55.5. Atlanta is favored to win by 2.5. I feel like Julio coming back makes that offense a whole lot better. And, like, you saw the difference how Matt Ryan played last week versus how he played in previous weeks without Julio. The numbers are just insane. And I think Atlanta, with all the weapons they have, with Calvin Ridley, with Julio, with Todd Gurley, I think that helps. But, I mean, you can't count out Stafford and, you know, Galladay and, you know, the three-headed monster they have at running back with Peterson, Swift, and Johnson. So, I mean, it's tough, but I think I'm going to go with Atlanta in this one simply because Julio is playing and he makes a big difference in that offense.
Oh, does he now?
Yeah, he made a difference for your fantasy team last week, didn't he?
I tried to ship him to you. You didn't want him. Now you're singing his praises? Typical. Now, anyways. Julio will definitely be a boost to that offense. And on top of that, you can just see the team just playing way, way more motivated and was executing with way more precision after the firing of Dan Quinn. I guess, you know, when it's your time, it's your time. You know, things were working out and it was time to part ways. And it just seemed like that whatever it was that Dan Quinn was doing, now that he's not there, they just play elevated. You can see that with the bounce back performance of Matt and Julio. And then Stafford, he didn't have Galladay for the first two games. So, or was it the first three?
I think it was the first
two.
I think it was the first three.
Wait. Oh wait, no, it was it was the first two. So he played weeks 3 and 4, and then he hit a bye week, and then he just came back in 3 recent weeks. So yeah. So the first 2 weeks without God, Stafford was struggling without the run game because Peterson was there, but he wasn't getting those chunk yards like D Swift is. So he didn't have no really good run game. Galladay wasn't there to rely on or command any attention to take away from the other receivers. So, you know, the Lions got off to a shaky start, but since Galladay's been back, it looks like Stafford's play has gotten better. D Swift has gotten healthier. So the Lions, they definitely, they've always had potential. Stafford is a franchise QB. D Swift looks like a good up and coming future running back. You also got AP as a mentor, Galladay, Jones Jr. And I think they need to find another receiver to put aside alongside Galladay. Jones Jr., based off of what I've seen, hasn't been cutting it. But, you know, they have other good complementary players alongside him. They got Hockenson. I think he's a good talent at tight end. And really, I think, you know, either one of these teams, they can definitely go for 30 this week. Their defense aren't, no, the worst. I mean, actually, the Falcons' defense is pretty bad, but I think Detroit's defense is a little bit more respectable, to say the least. They did beat Kyler Murray and company, who's definitely explosive. So their defense, I would say, is respectable. And I got, man, it's a tough one, but
I was gonna say, I meant to say earlier, Detroit's averaged 30 points a game since Galladay came back. So.
See, told you, he makes a difference. But I don't know, it's gonna be a tough one to choose. I'll say it's gonna be 35-28 Lions.
All right, I forgot to say my score. I'm gonna go 34-30 Atlanta.
Atlanta. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I can see that.
All right, Carr. Next game is the divisional game, the Bills and the Jets. So my friend Isaiah, he's been on the show a few times. We would always pick the, we're not going to get cute here. Meaning we're not going to take too much time to explain why we think this team's going to win, because we think the other team should blow this team out. Buffalo's playing the Jets. That's pretty much all I have to say is Buffalo's playing the Jets. I got Buffalo 34-2. If Darnold plays, 34-17. If Flacco plays, 34-10.
All right. Okay. I got the Bills 28-3, and that's me being generous. So,
oh my God, the Bills are favored to win by 13. Would you take that bet for them to win by 14?
Oh yeah, for sure. I'll take that.
Over under is 45. That's tough. I don't know if I could take that because the Jets offense is just so freaking bad. I'll tell you what, I wish I had the Bills defense in fantasy in all my leagues. I have them in like two. Carl, are you still there? Don't know if I lost.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Where'd you lose me at?
I said the over-under was 45, but I feel like I'd have to take the under because the Jets' offense is just so bad.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was saying. I think because the Bills would probably get 28 on their own, and then the Jets, like I said, would probably only get like 3, and even if they were to score a touchdown, that would only be 30 points.
Yeah.
3 plus 7, so yeah, 38. So, yeah, I think that's a good bet to take. But I don't know. I just those kind of margins, those big margins are kind of hard to bet on, but I think I can confidently trust the Bills to do that.
Yeah. Oh, I was talking about over-under, Carwin. So, like, how many – like, the over-under is 45. So, like, could the two teams combine for 45 points? No.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I'm saying no. Yeah, it's going to be under. Yeah. It'll be under that.
Yeah. All right. We got another division matchup. The Cleveland Browns are playing the Cincinnati Bengals. These two teams just played in week two
against the Colts.
No. These teams played against each other in week two. Well, they both have played the Colts. The Browns beat the Colts. The Bengals didn't. Mm-hmm. But the Browns, they beat the Bengals 35-30. Joe Burrow had a 300-yard passing game.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of points. I remember Drew Sample came into that game, and I thought I was picking up a fantasy stud. He had seven catches in like the second half of that game. That game, Burrow had three touchdown passes. Mayfield had two. Nick Chubb had 124 yards and two touchdowns. He won't be there. Odell Beckham Jr. had four catches, 74 yards and a touchdown. I feel like the Browns will be on their way to sweeping the Bengals this season in their division matchups. Browns are favored by 3. I think I would take that bet. But, you know, they're expecting the Cincinnati Bengals to be a little competitive. I know Joe Mixon's questionable. It could make a difference for the Bengals if he doesn't play. But it does make a difference that Nick Chubb won't be playing in this game. But I'm going to go with Cleveland anyway. But I think the scoring is going to be a little bit lower. I'm going to say 27-20, Cleveland Browns.
Okay. Well, there's quite a bit to nitpick on in this game, because you got the star power that the Browns got between Mayfield, Hunt, Odell, Jarvis, Joku, Hoopo, and then you also have I'm in the pocket like Burrow. Then you got Mixon, and then Bernard. Believe it or not, I think he could be a starting running back on a team. You guys may not remember, but I remember when Bernard came into the league. His first 2 years, he was a fantasy star. I don't even know why they drafted Mixon anyways, because Bernard was a good running back to me. But you know, there's certain running backs
remember Carwin. I don't mean to interrupt. Wasn't Joe Burrow like a third round pick, or Joe Mixon a third round pick because of his incident with hitting the woman at the restaurant?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Isn't that why his draft stock went so low?
Yeah.
He was okay. He was drafted in the second round, 48th pick. So he was like a little bit past halfway in the second round. So he would have been a first round pick if it wasn't for his incident that happened at a Oklahoma restaurant.
I can see that. But yeah, I guess, you know, there's just some running backs in the league like that. They have it like that. Latavius, we both know he could be a star running back, but no, it's all right. And then you got AJ Green. He had a better bounce back game last year. A lot of people are wondering if he was finished, if it was, you know, if there wasn't anything left in the tank for him past those injuries, but he showed a little bit of life last week, 8 catches for over 90 yards. And then, you know, Boyd, he's been solid the last 2 years. No, nothing to complain about with him. T. Higgins, the rookie receiver that they drafted this year, he seems to be coming along quite nicely. His first game, he caught 2 touchdowns, I think. And then, you know, which wasn't really that great, but I think he had the best performance out of all the garbage performances that were performed against the Ravens. So it's not saying that much, but it is something. And then last week he went over 100 yards. So they have some good pass catching options with AJ Green and Higgins and Boyd. And then Mixon plays or not. No, they still have Bernard, who I think will fill in quite admirably. And I got the Browns winning, but I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if the Bengals ended up, you know, eking out of there with a win, because when they played week two, you know, Burrow was still getting acclimated to the NFL. I think he's gotten a little bit better. On top of that, I think, you're losing the presence of Chubb. Hunt is definitely, you know, a good, maybe even above average running back, if you remember his days in Kansas City, and he's been filling in really well for Chubb. Even when Chubb is there, they try to include Hunt in the offense. So Mayfield is nicked up, So it wouldn't surprise me if Mayfield played the same way he did last year. I mean, not last year, last week when they got blown out, to maybe be able to get the Bengals a win. But I think the Browns, if they stay consistent with the running game and work that play action, they should win. So I got the Browns winning.
Just say two numbers.
I know. I'm thinking. All right, I got the Browns winning 21-20. Yeah, 21-20. Yeah, Browns.
Wow. Hey, Carwin, guess what?
What? I knew you were gonna do that. I knew it.
I'm in the pocket, like, bro.
I taught you that. Yo loves it. You're welcome. But yeah, I don't see either one of those teams doing a big amount of scoring. So I think it'll be 21-20. I got keeping it low.
All right. That's fair. All right. We got a game between teams from two different conferences. We have the Packers and the Texans right now. I am really mad at Aaron Rodgers for getting me 3 points in fantasy. Despite that, they're still favored by 3.5 points to beat the Texans after getting blown out by Tampa Bay. I expect Aaron Rodgers to play a lot better, considering the Texans have given up at least 30 points in 4 out of their 5 games. Or four out of their 6 games.
Right.
And they gave up 28 to Pittsburgh. They've given up at least 30 points in 5 out of their 6 games. Wow.
Ooh.
That is
the Texans. Oh, yeah.
They've given up 34 to the Chiefs, 33 to the Ravens, 28 to Pittsburgh, 31 to Minnesota. They gave up 14 to Jacksonville. So they've had 5 games giving up at least 28 points. And then they gave up 42 to Tennessee in that overtime loss. I would hope Green Bay could put up 30 on them the way other teams have put up 30 on them. I think Green Bay is a better team than Houston. Houston just hasn't been the same since they traded Hopkins, and it's starting to show a little bit. But they looked really resilient against Tennessee last week, and I was really proud of their performance against Tennessee, considering people are starting to call the Titans the best team in the league right now. That might be a little early stretch. I know they're 5-0, but like, you know, let's see how they do.
Against the Chiefs.
You know, against the – are they playing the Chiefs this year?
Oh, I don't know.
I think they are.
I would just assume they would play them at some point in the playoffs, if anything.
Oh, I don't think they're playing the Chiefs this year, because I know they didn't win the division, so they're not going to play each other that way. And I think the NFC, I think the AFC South is playing all the teams in the AFC North. Yeah, so they won't be playing the Chiefs. The only way they'll see them is if they play them in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, so as far as regular season,
but they play Pittsburgh. Yeah, that could be different. So that'll be a test for both of those teams.
That could be different. Wait, how did Pittsburgh lose? Have they lost yet?
They have not lost.
Pittsburgh is undefeated?
Yes.
For real?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yep.
Huh. Did not know that.
Yeah, they've beaten the Giants. They've beaten the Giants, the Texans, the Browns, the Eagles, and what's the last one? The Broncos. Remember, they were supposed to play the Titans 2 weeks ago, but their game got postponed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Wait, who did the Steelers literally just play? I forget.
They just played the Browns. They beat them 38.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, just talking
about
that.
That was terrible.
Yeah. But I'm gonna go with the Packers on this one. I think Houston will give up another 30-point game. I got the Packers 33-30.
All right.
I really think Houston can hang in there with them.
Oh yeah, they will. I mean,
What's the over under for this? 56. I take that. 56.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. This is definitely gonna be a shootout, I believe. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it was America's game of the week. If you like offense, I think you should watch this game. I mean, you saw what that Texans and Titans game displayed. It can very well happen again with Green Bay. I don't know if it's going to be exactly the same circumstance as far as overtime, but they'll both. I see them.
Ew. What? The game of the week is going to be San Francisco and
I was
New
about
England.
To say that, because of Garoppolo going up against Belichick. I was going to say that, too. But we'll get to that next.
We'll get to that,
but
yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely – the both teams definitely both have the firepower on offense and the non-great defense to make this – definitely a good high-scoring shootout of game. Watson is a premier quarterback in this league, as is Rodgers. They both have weapons on off. The Texans have the worst run defense in the league. A. Jones and Williams can run wild on them. Rodgers could have himself a day against that secondary, throwing it to Devontae and Tanyan and – No. Also, on the other side, Watson can pick them apart with Will Fuller, Cooks, Stills, Fells. He doesn't have Hopkins anymore, but he's making the most of with what he has. And
Cobb?
Yeah, Cobb. I forgot about Cobb. Yeah, they don't have a star, but they have good. I mean, I think Will Fuller has the potential to be a star, but other than that, yeah, everybody else isn't a star, but they're.
Brandon Cooks used to be a star.
I don't consider him a star. I don't know.
Maybe he just played with a bunch of good, great quarterbacks.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't look at him as.
He got to play with Drew Brees and Tom
Brady. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that may kind of put his name out there a little more, but yeah, I wouldn't really consider him up there. I think Will Fuller is a better receiver personally. But and then David Johnson, he's so far, I got to commend him for staying healthy. I didn't think he was going to last this long without a back injury or something. So he's doing good on that. And I can see this. Matter of fact, I got Green Bay 41-38. It's going to come down to a game-winning field goal. That's how many points are going to be put up in this game. Don't be surprised if both quarterbacks throw for 400 yards.
400? Mm-hmm. Wow. 400?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely 350. Right. They're both going eclipsing 350.
We will see. I hope so. For Rodgers' sake, yeah. I'm going to give him one
more he'll
chance.
Pay you back handsomely. You'll see.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of 500 yards, well, I guess we're not speaking of 500 yards because he's not playing anymore this year. The Dallas Cowboys are playing the
next
Washington football team.
All right. Go ahead.
Your Washington football team's favored.
How are they? I don't blame them. Did you see it? Man, everybody tuning in. This is the one segment where I gotta really try to choose my words wisely, because I was not happy with what I saw Monday night from the Cowboys. Yes, I'll claim the football team as my team, but everybody who knows me knows that I prioritize my fantasy team a little bit more, and just seeing the way it was just, I wanted to throw up. I was disgusted. So I don't.
What were you mad at?
Andy Dalton, CeeDee Lamb. Lamb, I'll cut him a break.
Lamb did better the second half.
Yeah, he came back around the second half. But Dalton, man, I don't know. He needs to turn the TV off or something. I bet he let all those people get in his head talking about, you went to the playoffs the first 5 years, blah, blah, blah. He's the best backup in the league. Yeah, he probably heard everybody hype his head up. Well, he needs to turn the TV off, humble himself, let that humble himself, and just play to win a game. Just play to win a game. I know he was probably thinking that he needed to prove himself that he deserved to be, in the league in that position and take over for Dak. Just, Dalton, just play your game. Just, get some completions here and there, and then hand the ball off to Elliott. Like, I don't want to see.
Well, I don't know if you want to hand the ball to Elliott, because he does what you just said.
Yeah, he does. But I think Elliott will fix that. That's not, you know, I don't think that's really a routinely thing of his game. I think he'll fix that. He'll brush that up and knows Dalton. He needs to not, because he needs to not play hero ball, because, you know, he's not Dak. Dak is way better at playing hero ball coming back. Dalton is not that, as you saw. Once he gets down, he ain't going back up. So with that offense, you need to stay consistently within a good margin, within a good marginal reach of, you know, securing a win if you want Dalton to be able to get you anywhere. But, I don't even have the Cowboys winning this game. I think J.D. McKissic is going to go for 130 scrimmage yards and 2 touchdowns. And then McLaurin is going to go for 85 yards and a touchdown. So I got one.
I actually like that prediction.
J.D. McKissic.
For the scrimmage yards? I like that prediction, actually.
For J.D. McKissic? For real? I didn't think you were going to buy that.
Well, I picked them up on one of my.
And you were talking trash about him when I picked them up and played them against you and got me 14 points. Take that, Vincent. Anyways, I got Washington winning 21-14.
What? Well, you think your defense is going to hold Dallas?
Yeah, for sure. Did you see that Dallas offense? They only put up 10 last week. So, ain't getting nowhere. I mean, it's just a shame. You got Coop, Lamb, Elliott, Gallup. And that's the best you can do, Dalton? You should be ashamed of yourself. I wouldn't be surprised if they released him and played that no name. I don't even know who he is. But the moment he walked on the field, I felt better about him than Dalton. And I never even seen him throw the ball out of his hand yet. But, yeah, that's my take.
I want to see Cowboys get Brian Fitzpatrick or Washington. I just want Lamb and McLaurin's numbers to go up.
Yeah, I know. Oh, man. When we get to are we going to talk about the Dolphins today? Because I saw that Tua and Fitz interview, and I just felt bad for Fitz. He didn't deserve that.
Yeah, I mean, we can definitely get into that. Let's just stick to the predictions for now, and then we can probably talk about all other stuff on a different show. Like right after this one, I'm gonna go with the Cowboys.
Wow. Okay. You're brave. You're a brave one.
Hey, they put up 27 on Washington.
Whoa, that's a stretch.
27.
Hey.
27 to 20.
They wish they could score 27 with Andy Dalton. I'll see that.
No, they will. They'll get 3 touchdowns and 2 field goals.
Okay. All right. I believe when I see. Right.
We'll see it mm-hmm. again. All right. Carolina's playing New Orleans. Teddy Bridgewater is playing against his former team that he started 5 games for and won all 5 games for last year. I had no idea Eli Apple was on Carolina.
I don't even follow him.
Just now.
The only reason I know who he is because of his last name.
Well, he was also really good in college.
Was he? Bless his heart.
Yeah.
But
Saints are favored by 7.5. You would need the Saints to win by 8. I don't know if I could take
it. Oh, yeah, me neither. The Carolinas has won some shockers. I didn't expect them to beat the Cardinals.
Me neither. Oh, my God, that messed me up. I was so mad.
And then what other games did they have they won?
They beat Atlanta. And they beat the Chargers.
Oh, okay. So they have 3 wins then, right? 3
wins? Yeah, yeah.
And then who'd they lose to?
They just lost to Chicago last
week. What are all of their losses?
They lost to Chicago, Tampa Bay, and Oakland. Or, excuse me, Las Vegas.
They lost to the Raiders?
Yeah, week 1.
Hmm, okay. I got the Saints in this game. Thomas is back. All you fantasy people.
He's questionable. He's still questionable.
What? He's playing. I'm going to just say he's back because he met, like, based off of what we know, he said he was ready to play and, you know, he's got that big egotistical problem. He's just got always, always so defensive, ready to hit somebody. So, Thomas is back. That'll be a big boost to Drew Brees in the offense. It'll open some looks up for all the other guys when he demands that coverage. And Kamara, makes a great argument for best back in the league for most people when it comes to his multifaceted skills when it, running the ball and catching. So you also have Cook, who's a good athletic and quick tight end, who is a good red zone threat for Brees. And I think the Saints will try get back on track to the, you know, the Super Bowl favorites that they seem to be like almost every year. And I know people think Drew Brees is in decline. I could see, you know, why they would say that. But like I said, once Thomas comes back, I think you'll see a boost in the offense. And, you know, people got to remember that it's been a tricky season for the NFL. So not everybody goes at the same pace and not everybody adjusts the same. So it could take a little longer for some people. So it can take a little shorter for others. So, but I mean, Brees, I mean, he, if you look at his numbers, he hasn't been bad, you know.
No.
Like, I think he definitely will do enough what you need to get to the playoffs and through the playoffs to me. And then Carolina, you know, what a comeback story for Teddy Bridgewater. You got a feel for the guy, you know. You got to applaud that comeback. You know, there was whispers that he may not ever be able to play the position again. And then here he does, steps into a backup role at New Orleans and goes with an unblemished win-loss record for the Saints, right? It was unblemished, correct?
Yeah, I mean, he had no
losses. Yeah, when he stepped in for the Saints.
Yeah, he didn't lose
a game. Yeah, he came in, won with an won all the games he started for the Saints, ended that season with an unblemished record, and then here he comes with Carolina with, honestly, at first glance, not that much talent outside of McCaffrey, in my opinion. I mean, you just looked at, you know, to me, I just saw DJ, DJ and McCaffrey, you know. I mean, I knew Anderson was there, but based off of me seeing him with the Jets, I just always felt he was either good for that 160-yard play or not. But it seems like he's kind of shaped up into a better consistent all-around receiver, catching underneath routes and the deep routes. So that's a surprise. And they gotta, for real, they just gotta. And Mike Davis has definitely filled in admirably for McCaffrey.
Mike Davis has 64 carries. He has 64 carries, 272 yards, two touchdowns on the ground, while Kamara has 61 carries, 281 yards, and four touchdowns.
Yeah,
so Mike Davis putting up Christian McCaffrey.
Yep, because I remember Mike Davis with the Bears, or was it the Seahawks? It was either the Bears or the Seahawks.
He was with the Bears the year Montgomery made his debut.
Okay, so he was.
Remember week one, David Montgomery, and then like they started Mike Davis. It wasn't Tariq Cohen. Yeah. It wasn't David Montgomery. It was Mike Davis.
Yeah, yeah. So now
Mike Davis has been a jerk.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So he seems to have found a really good home and establishing a name for himself and gaining respect throughout the league, and it's working. He's doing a smell of a job, and I can see this game being a little more high scoring than people think. I got the Saints winning 31-21.
Yeah. So he was drafted by the 49ers. Then he went to the Seahawks. Then he went to the Bears. And Isaac Carroll.
Yeah. Got him.
Okay. All right. We're gonna move on.
Say to your prediction.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I got the Saints. Let's give them 30-24.
Okay. So Panthers only losing by a touchdown without a field goal. That's not bad.
Yep. All right. I think this game is going to be the most intriguing of the 1 o'clock games. We have Pittsburgh against Tennessee. 2-5-0 teams. This game might go down to the wire. I would really be surprised if one of these teams blew out the other. Tennessee's favored by one, so you're pretty much picking one or the other team to win. that's how close this game is going to be. Steelers averaging 31.2 points a game. Titans 32.8 points per game. Tennessee's been doing a better job passing and rushing the ball, but Pittsburgh has played better defense. So one of these has got to come to an end. The Steelers are averaging 66.2 rushing yards allowed. I think Derrick Henry's going to get way more than that. I can see him going for 100. Now I can see why Pittsburgh's rated the number one rush defense. They've given up 66.2 rushing yards a game. That's crazy. Best in the league. We had Derrick Henry. He has 588 yards on 123 carries and 6 touchdowns. He had that 200-yard performance last week against Houston. I think Tennessee is going to barely pull this one out. I can see Tennessee winning this game. You know what? I'm gonna give them 31-30. No. Yeah, 31-30. I'm gonna give Tennessee for this game. This game is gonna be great. I'm actually looking forward to it.
Oh yeah, I can see that. Yeah, these are both. No, obviously their record speaks for themselves. They're very, really good team, probably top three at the moment. And they both have good defenses. Well, the Steelers' defense is definitely better than the Titans' defense. And
for sure.
And you can see, if you look at last year versus this year, when it comes to the Steelers, I mean, you see why they're 5-0. It's really Roethlisberger. As far as their roster, outside of Claypool, it hasn't changed that much on the offensive side of the ball. You still have I know Conner was banged up here and there last year, but you still have Juju, still got Deontay Johnson when he's not hurt.
Yeah, he's been unhealthy the last couple weeks. Like, it's weird, the last two games he's played, he's come in, he'll make like one catch or one run,
and then Ebron. No, Ebron is there this year now, but I guess they do got a little more pieces now this year than now that I think about it.
Yeah, they got a brand new receiver, brand new tight end, and they got their quarterback. Yeah,
The point I was gonna make was that Rudolph isn't good, and that was only the reason why the Steelers underachieved last year. But now that I think about it, I mean, I guess like I said, Rudolph didn't have Conner all the time. And he didn't have Ebron, he didn't have Clay. So maybe, say Roethlisberger did get hurt again and he got put in, he might do a little bit better now, having a healthy Conner and then Clay and Ebron. So, but still, either way, at the end of the day, we know Roethlisberger is better. The team is better with him. They're not nowhere near as good without him. So I think that really shows in their record this year, alongside their good defense. It's hard to stop a good offense and a good defense. So it's definitely going to be a really challenging win for the Titans if they can pull this off. But I got the Steelers winning this one, 31-28. And I think it's going to be a good game. This is going to be a game that Tannehill is going to have to be the reason they win. I do not see Henry rushing for 200 yards against them Steelers. I say he won't get any more than 80. Which is bitch.
Whoa! You don't think he can break 100?
Nah, he ain't breaking 100. Remember, the first, like, three weeks of the season, Henry wasn't doing that good. So, it's definitely doable to stop help.
I'll tell you what, you actually make a pretty good point. Because Saquon Barkley, oh my God, he could not get anything going against the Steelers in week one.
Yeah, but I think that's probably more a testament of the Giants. Yeah, but still, yeah, I'm telling you, them Steelers, they're a problem on defense.
For sure. All right, first of the 4 o'clock games, you have the Seattle Seahawks against the Arizona Cardinals. Seahawks 5-0, Arizona 4-2. Both of those games that they lost are games that they definitely could have won. They lost to Detroit by 3 and Carolina by 10. But then they've also played the Jets, Dallas, Washington. But they did beat the 49ers in week one, but it's still kind of hard to figure out who the 49ers are in terms of their team. I think Chris Carson's going to come back this week. Even if he wasn't playing, I feel like the Seahawks will still win this game. Russell Wilson's playing at MVP level. You know, Jamal Adams is questionable. But I think both quarterbacks are going to do fairly well. And I can see both of these teams scoring 30. As a matter of fact, I got the Seahawks in this game. I'm going to give them 33-30. I hope that's not too high, but I think those teams can reach that.
Yep, for sure, for sure. These are two explosive offenses, Kyler and Russell, probably playing in their division might be the best division because every team out of that division is a playoff caliber team to me. The Niners are a playoff caliber team. The Rams are a playoff caliber team. All of those teams are definitely wild card potential. So you got the Arizona, which was the worst team in that division last year, is looking like, besides the Seahawks, the team to beat in that division. So, Kyler's in his sophomore year at QB looks to have improved with the addition of Hopkins in another year under the system, under his belt. And Russell's obviously the favorite to win the MVP. He's going to do his thing when he throws it deep to Metcalf and Lockett, and Chris Carson can really run that ball. Hopefully Drake can carry the momentum into this game that he had playing against that porous Cowboys defense last week. And I think we're going to see a shootout with that game as well. I have the Seahawks 35-31. And I got Kyler on my fantasy team. He going to go off. After the podcast, let me get Drake. AJ Brown for Drake. Straight up. Appreciate it.
I'll consider it. All right, San Francisco is playing New Orleans, or excuse me, New England. That should be an interesting game. I honestly don't know who's going to win. New England looks really suspect after that loss to Denver last week. And they lost to Denver, and they did it without giving them a touchdown. I don't know if it was just Russ from Cam Newton not playing for a couple of weeks or what. Patriots are still favored by 2. I don't think I would take that. I think I would take the 49ers. And 49ers, they looked really impressive last week against those Rams, who were off to a hot start. Unfortunately, Mostert's not going to play.
Yep.
My favorite running back.
Yeah. He is quick.
Yeah, that guy got amazing. But I think the 49ers will do just enough, and I don't think the Patriots have enough on offense to catch up with the 49ers. Even if Mostert isn't playing, they can still do stuff with McKinnon and others. And Debo's back and healthy. Kittle's back and healthy. So I got the 49ers winning this game. I'm going to say 24-17.
Okay. Keeping it a bit on the lower side, I feel you.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that. That New England offense.
Yeah, me neither. Coming into the season, you had your question marks with both teams, fairly understandable. I mean, the Niners, they lost some pretty key pieces. They lost Goodwin and Sanders, and who else did they lose? Didn't they lose somebody else? Forgetting somebody.
Who?
They lost Goodwin, Sanders, and they lose somebody else.
I mean, Dante Pettis hasn't really played a whole lot, but he's still on that team.
Is Bosa still hurt?
Nick Bosa, yeah, he's hurt.
Okay, yeah, so Bosa, Sanders, Goodwin.
Wait, which Sanders are you talking
Man,
about?
Man, you well.
He plays for the Saints.
Yeah, I know, I'm saying, coming into season because he's wasn't going to be on the team anymore.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And then with the New England, the
Solomon Thomas hurt.
See? Yeah, so.
They lost to Forrest Buckner.
And with New England, you had question marks coming into the season regarding their QB situation and, you know, the offensive pieces. And both of these teams have had to, you know, power through the adversity of being lost of with to injury and free agency, and then the other one just seems to me like, you know, they just simply don't have the talent on offense to help Cam Newton out. It seemed like it was a good start to the season when they first played the Dolphins, and then they put up a good fight against the Seahawks. Maybe just Newton needs to, you know, get reacclimated after being out from COVID, but it didn't look good to say the least when they played the Broncos last week. The receivers look like they're not reliable to catch passes from Newton, and they just don't seem like they're getting open enough. So I don't got the Patriots winning this. I say, oh, scared me. I say, what? I thought they were coming in the door. I say the Niners pull this one off 21-14. Niners are better. You know, the Niners are, they're well coached. Garoppolo seems like he's feeling it again after being hurt from that ankle injury. They got Debo back. They got Kittle. So, yeah, I got the Niners winning this one for sure.
Yeah. Kansas City is playing Denver. I think Kansas City is going to wipe the floor with Denver, to be honest. Kansas City is favored by 9.5. I don't know if I'd take that. I really hate double-digit point spreads, depending on who the opponent is. I feel like the Broncos can do just enough to probably hang in there, maybe through like the first half, but throughout the entire game, I don't think so. You don't have Sutton. You might not have Melvin Gordon this week either.
He's still
playing. Jerry Judy's been okay, but
Melvin's still getting disciplined, or is he injured?
Well, I know last week they said he had strep throat. Probably from all the
alcohol. Yeah, that's I thought. Yeah. That's why I'm wondering, like, if he's still being disciplined for that DUI or not.
Yeah, well, apparently he wasn't even disciplined for it. Apparently they said he had strep throat, but I mean, I don't know. Noah Fant's questionable. KJ Hamler. I mean, basically the entire skills position on offense for the Broncos is questionable. I see Tim Patrick had a pretty good game, I think they've got too much. I guess see the Chiefs winning this game. I'm going to give them 30-16. I think McManus will have another good game. I think McManus will put up more points than the rest of his offense will combine again this week. So, yeah. We're going to go 30-16.
Right. Yeah, I say the Chiefs pulled this. I mean, there's not really much to say in regards to this matchup right here. You know what the Broncos are. They're still trying to find their way on offense. Melvin Gordon is a good running back. Actually, Lindsey's kind of underrated. He ran for over 100 yards last week against a good Cleveland defense. So
yeah,
they just need some more key pieces on offense. Drew Lock still got to develop. This got to get coached a little better. Get that run game going. Get some more pieces to rely on offense besides Fant and Judy. And go from there. We know what the Chiefs are. They're the reigning Super Bowl champions. They're going to do their thing. I got the Chiefs winning this 35-14.
All right. Jacksonville is playing the Los Angeles Chargers. That could be a pretty interesting game, despite both of these teams being
1-4.
1-4, 1-5. Well, the Chargers are favored by 7.5. Wow. Joe, Jacksonville, they're losers of 5 in a row. They give up 30 points in 5 straight games. I'm actually going to talk to you about this in our next show as well. If you're down to do another one, that's like not predictions.
I probably won't have time for that one because my uncle's going to be here. Yeah.
All right, that's fine. We can always do it another day. But I'll just keep with the predictions. I'm gonna go with the Chargers winning this game. I'm gonna hop on that bandwagon and say they're gonna put up 30 as well. I'm gonna say 33-20. That might be a little too generous. I'll stick to 33-20.
Okay, Chargers. Okay. All right. Well, here's what I got to say. Minshew Museum. Okay. Minshew Mania. It's gonna take a loss. He's still a question mark to me. Sometimes he shows you flashes of escapability and making plays, and then sometimes he makes a throw where it's like, what? Where are you going with that? And so I think they need some better receivers. I know they got Chark, Keelan Cole, and Chenault, but they all seem to be really inconsistently unreliable. Chark gets hurt on and off with injuries. The other ones. You got a rookie.
Westbrook barely plays after he was the number one guy.
Was inactive. Keelan Cole was inactive a lot last year too. Now he's starting again. Chenault, you got his rookie receiver who played quarterback in college. So Robinson, he seems to be probably the best fantasy asset you got on that team, and probably your best real life player on the field. So give him the ball, and I think you have a better chance opening up your offense for Minshew. And who are they playing against?
They're playing the Los Angeles.
Okay, the Chargers. Herbert has been a big surprise to me. I really didn't even know. I just knew where he went to college. I mean, I haven't heard that much of Herbert. I was surprised that he was playing as well as he did. I was kind of worried. I'm not gonna lie. I was worried at first when I found out that he was starting. But then again, it's like, I mean, how much more worse can you get from Tyrod, you know? So, but then, you know, he shocked me. He was making some throws. He was, you know, delivering the ball to his playmakers, which is what you got to do on the football team. He understood that. He was throwing it to Keenan Allen. He was making plays, throwing it to Eckler. And he's gone toe-to-toe some really close games against some really good teams and Hall of Fame QBs that are on the Hall of Fame trajectory. You know, Mahomes almost beat Mahomes, gave him a run for his money, gave Drew Brees a run for his money. I think how's Keenan Allen's injury? His back, is he good on his back?
I'm not sure. I know he's.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, sis.
And then wait till Eckler comes back. Wait till he has
exactly. Yeah. So I think they'll. I don't know if they're going to put up 30 without Keenan Allen. If they do have Keenan Allen, I'll give them 31. If they don't, I'll give them 28 points. So I got the Jags scoring 20 and then the Chargers doing 31.
All right. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are playing the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders beat Brady's former team, the Patriots, earlier this year, which I thought was impressive. They lost to the Bills by 7, but they're coming off a big win against the Chiefs. Hey, give it to the Raiders, man. They've beaten the Chiefs. They've beaten the Saints. They've beaten Carolina, who's been a decent team. They lost to the Bills, and then they lost to New England. But, they're looking pretty impressive. In Tampa Bay, they've won 4 out of 5, putting up 31, 28, 38, 38. So their offense is starting to click now with Tom Brady in the lineup. Their loss against Chicago on a Thursday night kind of concerns me. I think this game's gonna be really tough to pick. Both of these teams are coming off some pretty big wins against some pretty teams, against teams that were considered to be in the top 5. But I'm gonna give the slight edge to Tampa Bay. I'm gonna give this game a 38-33 victory for the Buccaneers. I think they'll do just enough on offense to win this game.
Mm. That's a big one. 38. All right. The Raiders, yeah, they've have been a big surprise. It's like the games where you expect them not to win, they it's like the games you where you don't expect them to win, win. Games where you're like, oh yeah, they should beat them, they don't win. So the Raiders are kind of hard to bet on. You don't know what team they're gonna end up being any given week. When the QB plays well for them and they get Jacobs going, then they end up having good games. So the Raiders, it wouldn't surprise me if the Raiders ended up beating the Buccaneers for actually. I don't think the Buccaneers are gonna get in the high 30s or maybe low 30s. I don't think that's Brady's responsibility anymore. Now it seems like they're converting more to give it to Ronald Jones, let him get 100 yards and then play good defense. So I'll give Tampa 28 points. I say it's going to be 27-28. Tampa is going to be a close one.
All right. And then last, Carl, we made it. The Bears are playing the Rams. The Rams are favored 70%, and the Bears are 5-1.
How'd they get those odds?
Goodness gracious. I mean, the Bears,
they just beat Tampa. So how'd they get those odds? They just beat Tampa.
Right, and then they had the Rams by 6. That's crazy, if you ask me. I mean, the Rams, they lost to Buffalo, they lost to San Fran. Three of their four wins are against NFC East teams. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. All four of the Rams' wins are against NFC East teams, and then they barely beat Dallas. They beat Philadelphia. They barely beat the Giants. They beat them by 8, and then they beat the Washington football team. They lost to Buffalo, who may make the playoffs, in San Francisco, who are Super Bowl runner-ups. I feel like let's slow down on the Rams a little bit. I think a 70% matchup predict is a little too high for them. But with all that being said, I still think they're going to win this game against Chicago. But it's not going to be – I don't think it's going to be a shootout by any means. I feel like it's going to be a defensive struggle. I can see this game. I'm going to give this game – Yeah, I'm gonna go 20-17 Los Angeles Rams. We'll do 24-20. That might be a little too high.
Foles doesn't seem like he's the type that's gonna put up all those too many points on offense. They have a really good defense, so I think they would rather rely on their defense. Then Foles win them games, and the Rams, they got a good pass rush.
Their defense, excuse me for interrupting, their defense has given up at least 20 points only once.
The Bears?
The first week.
They've only given up 20 points.
Yeah, so the Bears, they gave up 23, and then they gave up 13, or no, I'm sorry, they gave up 13, 26, 19, 19, and 16. So the last 3 weeks,
they're not asking Foles to do a bunch of scoring. They're trying to rely a little bit more on their defense. The Rams, they got a good pass rush, so I don't think they're going to let Foles make too many throws to put them points on the board, which is why I've seen it being more low scoring. And then, like we said, on the other hand, I don't think the Bears are going to allow the Rams to do as much scoring. So, yeah, I think it's going to be 21-20.
All right, Carwin, thank you so much for taking the hour of your day to join the show.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate it. We should be in
for a fun week of football. I'm looking forward to it. I need to bounce back. Last week wasn't the best week, so, yeah, appreciate it.
But, all right, Kenyon Drake for
Nah. Debo, though. Drake for Debo. What?
No, I don't even know.
Do fantasy people hear this? Debo had put up like 16 points. No, for first he put up when he came back. No, the week after he came back, I think he gave me like 14 or 15. And then he just put up like 19 last week. That's a good deal. Drake just had his first good game of the season.
We'll see. All right, thank you, Carwin.
Appreciate it. Wait, are you actually going to post this one this time?
Oh, okay. All right, I'll be looking.
Good. I'll be looking for it. All right, Vince. Thanks for having me on the show. I'll be tuning in to the next one when I'm available.